You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I'm joined by a very special guest, Anna Bracewell-Worrell. Hello, Anna.
Hi.
How are you this morning?
I'm really good.
That's
great. It's a lovely
day. I know everyone's got this this sunshine positivity this weekend, and I love it.
You know what? I woke up and there was a bit of sun streaming in through a corner of my curtains, and I was like, today is great.
That's so nice. I hope that everyone can take that out into the rest of their weekends. But you're here to review a fruit.
Yeah, I adore this fruit, and it makes the weather turning a little bit colder, you know, a little bit more all right. I'm a summer gal. Are you into summer?
Nah, I'm definitely in autumn, spring.
Okay,
I like the in-betweens.
So this probably just makes it all the sweeter for you. It's like coming into my favorite month, and it is the season of abundancy. Feijoas.
Yes, feijoas.
It's all right to say. Sorry.
Yeah, you can say that here.
I love feijoas.
Do you fucking love feijoas?
I fucking love feijoas.
Same. They're really good.
They're so great. I wish every second house at least had a feijoa tree. And the best place to grow them is right by the street, because they work as a bush. Like, as you can prune them so that they're like in the shape of a hedge. Or they work just as a general tree, and they don't grow too tall, about 1.7 meters, like the height of a person.
Okay, so I have a funny story about this. Recently, I've encountered a house where some feijoas had just been left to go, and they had grown insanely tall. No one had ever seen feijoas that tall. I'm going to say like at least 5-6 meters, like actually.
That's incredible.
Very, very tall. It was, they had this, someone had like trimmed the trunk, so they had this big thick trunk. It was not like any feijoa you'd ever seen before.
Oh yeah, actually there are some varieties that do get that tall.
Yeah, but usually a nice hedge.
You can have a nice hedgy feijoa. There are a bunch of different varieties. I probably should have said that. But you can choose some that really grow well as a hedge. Anyway, you just got to read the labels.
Sorry, I just had to share that because it blew my mind.
Yeah. As soon as you said that, I remembered that there definitely are tall ones, and there is one in my parents' back garden that's a little bit too tall.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they do get up to 5-6 meters, and then it's quite hard to get the fruit. But, yeah. So I basically love feijoas. There's just like this incredible abundancy all over the ground. The slight pain with them is that you kind of have to eat them straight away. So you need to be going and collecting them from the garden every second day. Otherwise they tend to rot. And that speed with which they rot means that they're a terrible export fruit. And so the fact that we have them in New Zealand is quite special. We wouldn't really be able to import them. They would be very expensive and probably not that good because they've been severely refrigerated. So yeah, they are just like, it's just amazing that their abundancy and their freeness, you know, that you have to give them away because they just rot otherwise. You just have to share them.
They're very special. I feel like I get quite patriotic when I think about feijoas. And I know, they grow other places.
They're from South America.
Yeah, but just, I know, you know, because you just associate them with home. I do, at least.
Totally, totally. Yeah, and so in New Zealand, they are pollinated in the South Island by the silver eye, and in the North Island by blackbirds and miners, and then by a few insects, bees and bumblebees. And the birds are actually eating the petals that you find around the outside of the flower. The flower actually looks a bit like a Pohutukawa flower. And like, I've seen some bushes and wondered whether they're feijoas or not. But yeah, so you can actually eat the petals as well.
Wow.
Yeah, I've never tried one, but I'm very keen to track one down and try some feijoa petals. So yeah, that's what the birds are eating, and they kind of get a bit of the pollen on their feathers and then spread it. Like that. And if you have a warm summer, then you tend to have a good crop of feijoas. So we should be having a fairly good crop this year.
Excellent.
Maybe not the best, but pretty good.
So good. I understand we have some like suggested uses as well.
My favorite thing to do with feijoas is to make sorbet. And the reason for this is that in summer you're just like, oh man, I want that fragrant, fresh, juicy feijoa. And if you've made a sorbet when you had this abundancy of free feijoas, then it's perfect in the middle of summer. Although I have to say, every year that I've made it, it's never lasted all the way to summer.
That would be a long time to keep delicious feijoa sorbet.
And the cool thing about this sorbet is that it's super simple. All you need is a couple of cups of pureed feijoas, and then you can put in some limes or lemon and a cup of white sugar and a cup of ginger beer.
Oh, yum.
And perhaps some extra fresh ginger as well in there. So grate it up really finely. And all you do is mix it all together and then put it in the freezer. And every so often you've got to keep whisking it with a fork. And as long as you remember to whisk it, you'll get a really smooth mixture. But I just love it. The combination of the ginger and the feijoas is just delicious and it's so simple.
Oh, that sounds really good.
Highly recommend it. You can also do other varieties that have egg whites in them, but I just like the simplicity of this one and the ginger with it. It's delicious. Another thing we have here is the record for the largest feijoa. Not that large, to be honest.
I know, the headline calls it a monster feijoa, and I was like, I don't know if I'd use the word monster.
It's not a monster. First of all, it's beautiful.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's positive and large, but also it's also not that large.
It's not that large. It fits in the woman's hand that is holding it. It's 385 grams.
I was imagining like a watermelon feijoa.
This is no pumpkin. This is still a feijoa.
But, still, though.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like a conjoined twin, this feijoa. So it's just two feijoas joined together, which says that they're quite a standardized fruit, which they are. You tend to get feijoas that are all quite similar growing on the same tree.
True. Good point. Yeah. You don't see that much variation.
No, you don't tend to see a giant monster feijoa.
I hope someone makes that their goal now, though, and just trees it larger and larger.
Monster feijoas, yeah. And, yeah, one thing I did want to say is that they're also known as the pineapple guava, which is quite descriptive of their taste, but it's not descriptive of their genus. So they're not related to guavas, although they are very guavery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I feel like guavas also grow in similar conditions, right?
I think so.
I'm basing this off my parents' backyard that has feijoas and guavas.
I don't. To be honest, guavas are a little bit of a knowledge gap for me, although there is something very similar with feijoas in that they also tend to rot quite quickly.
Yeah, they're the same thing. You have to get them from someone's backyard. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they have a kind of similar texture where they've got that sort of jellyish and the fleshy,
yeah,
intertwined.
Yes. Are you talking about the small berry guavas?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, you can also get quite large guavas, although I've never seen them in this country. But when I was in India, you'd get them the size of a feijoa.
Wow.
And they were just beautiful, really super delicious and really special treat.
Yum.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you for coming in, Anna.
My absolute pleasure, Alice.
You've made me really excited for feijoa season. I'll have to track down a friend that has some feijoa bushes in their backyard.
Yeah, I would say egalitarian New Zealand is a little bit of a myth, but the egalitarian feijoa is not a myth.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.